Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gelzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, excuse for business of the House, Nolan.
Flag salute will be led by Representative Jackie Dingfelder.
I pledge allegiance to the flag
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Today is an honor for us to have two classrooms of fourth grade elementary students from McKay Elementary in our district joining us. Mrs. Parra and Mrs. Grant's class are in the rear gallery for their first visit to the Capitol. If we could give them a wave, I'd appreciate it. Thanks, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to extend courtesies to a student joining us today at the Capitol. Jackson Landgreen is an honorary page today. He's standing up in the front. He's an eighth grader at Kelly Middle School. He's participating as an honorary page. He enjoys math, and his career goal is to be a lawyer. So welcome to the Capitol.
Thank you, Representative Hannah.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, once again today I have the pleasure of introducing a guest from Douglas County. Yesterday we had the Community Cancer Center director. Today we have the hospital CEO from Douglas County. Here at the side aisle is Kelly Morgan. Kelly is president and chief executive officer at Mercy Medical Center. An interesting fact about Kelly is he was raised in Coquille. He went away to do a lot of business and had the good sense to come back to Douglas County, and for that we are grateful. Another interesting fact is Kelly first became a CEO of a hospital at 28 years old. So you know this is the kind of guy that's a real go-getter. Every place he's been in life, he's been a community leader. Today, Kelly is here advocating for Umpqua Community College, and has been to my office this morning already because he's interested in the Community College Support Fund and how we all react to that fund and the funding for community colleges around the state. Kelly is keenly aware of the fact that we need to invest in jobs in Oregon, and his hospital shares in the folks that that get that training, and we're thrilled that he's here. Colleagues, also with Kelly, among us are members of the staff and students from Umpqua Community College. Wave at them, say hello. It's a big crowd up there, so I'm not going to name them all. Colleagues, please make them feel welcome. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. It's great to have you. Representative Edwards, Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to extend courtesies to a page that will be helping us out in the Capitol here today, a constituent of mine, Tyler Clark. Tyler, if you could stand. Tyler's 13 in the eighth grade. He attends Kelly Middle School. He participates in basketball, track, and soccer. He's interested in math and business, and he is also on the honor roll at Kelly. And his career goals, as far as a career, he may pursue professional golf or practice in the law. So thanks for being with us, Kelly. Or Tyler, sorry.
Thank you, Representative Dave Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to extend courtesies of the House to Savannah Siamese, who is in eighth grade at Cracksburger Middle School in Gladstone. Savannah is enjoying her day at the Capitol. She's a big fan of things like art, fashion, design, and math. So we'd like to extend courtesies of the House to you. Welcome, Savannah.
Today also we have visiting in the Capitol volunteers from the March of Dimes. They are not here in the gallery right now, I understand, but are here we go, right up here. Welcome, it's good to have you, and you may have a chance to meet them in the building later on. They're here in observance of Maternal and Child Health Information Day. Do we have further courtesies? Representative Lim.
Mr. Speaker, thank you very much. I want to make sure we have a student from the Hogan Cedars Elementary. Are you sitting over there yet? Okay. Mr. Speaker, they will be joining us in 5 minutes. I will do that later.
Thank you, Representative Morgan.
Hey, Mr. Speaker, I wish to extend courtesies and welcome to some Riverhawks. These are students from Umpqua Community College down in Roseburg that are up here for the day. Kimberly Seekins, Natasha Kuchuk, Darren Bearding, and Lacey Ray Bagley, welcome to the Capitol. Thank you for coming and enjoy your day.
Further courtesies? Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you the Senate has passed Senate Bill 55, 28, 55, 31, 65, 70, 79, 41, 81, 83, 84, 122, 139, 163, and adopted SJR 20.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HJM 14, urging Congress to enact a National Guard and Reserve Retirement Act. HJM 16, requesting that the United States Congress and federal agencies oppose efforts to place restrictions on public lands and water in Oregon. HJM 17, urging President and Congress to amend federal law relating to drug and alcohol testing of applicants for unemployment benefits. HJM 18, requesting the United States Congress to replace fast-track authority for ratifying United States trade agreements with new authority. HJM 19, urging Congress to fund transportation of and United States Department of Defense transport comfort items to troops overseas. HJM 20, urging federal government to return criminal aliens incarcerated in Oregon to their birth countries to serve the remainder of their sentence under certain circumstances. HJR 35, proposed an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to judges. HJR 49, proposed an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to granting crime victims remedy for violation of constitutional rights. HJR 50, proposed an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to granting crime victims mechanism for enforcing constitutional right regarding paternal release of defendant. HJR 54, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to education funding. HM2, requesting that federal government stabilize funds provided to rural Oregon counties for public purposes. HR1, declaring that development of hydrogen-based economy in Oregon is high priority. HR2, designating counties east of Cascade Mountains as Oregon rugged country. HR3, urging Oregon universities, community colleges, and secondary schools to encourage Oregon students to learn Mandarin Chinese and to explore opportunities studying China. SJR20, declaring state policy to promote and facilitate development of telecommunications network model for health care and education communities.
Measures read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Propositions and motions. Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I request a 15-minute recess for purpose of caucus, Republican caucus.
Thank you. Representative Scott has requested a 15-minute recess. Representative Hunt.
Democrats will also use that same 15 minutes to caucus up in our caucus room.
Okay, without objection, we're in recess.
Speaker. I would like to introduce members of the 4th through the 8th grade from the Cresswell Christian School in the gallery with their group leader Kathy Hendricks. Welcome to the Capitol.
Very good to have you here. Further courtesies, Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would like to extend courtesies to Hogan Cedar Elementary. Hogan Cedar is in my district. It's an award-winning school, having won a state literacy award from the Oregon Reading Association. Visiting is a fourth grade class. They are beautiful children, and I met them, each one of them. They asked me a bunch of questions, what I'm doing here, and how can I help them. Their leader is Sandy Beauty. Thank you, Sandy, for bringing the kids to the Capitol. Welcome.
Good to have you all. Further courtesies? Seeing none, we return to the order of propositions and motions. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the committee report on House Bill 2589.
Representative Rosenbaum moves adoption of the committee report on House Bill 2589. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, the Oregon legislature has a problem, and House Bill 2589 can be a big part of the solution. I'm sure it comes as no surprise to anyone in this chamber that there are many, many people out in our state who believe that there is a problem in this legislature, and that problem is a lack of clarity about what we're here to do. This bill can be a big part, I think, of sending a message to our constituents and to the entire state that we are here for one thing and one thing only, and that is to do the people's business to the best of our ability according to our conscience, and that nothing should interfere with that. Colleagues, I want to explain what this bill does, because it's really a very simple bill. It really only does one thing. It says that if you are an elected member of this legislature, that after you leave office, you cannot, for money, immediately go to work as a lobbyist in the same body with the same colleagues that you were just having lunch with in the lounge, that you simply need to wait for the duration of one regular session of the legislature before doing that. Now, why is that so important? Well, for a number of reasons, but mainly because whether it's perception or reality, people need to know that we are not hanging around here looking for our next paycheck, that we are here to represent them and to do that in a completely above board and ethical way. I know, and I have heard this from some of you, that people feel like this is somehow an insult or besmirching the integrity of legislators. It's not intended to do that at all. It's simply intended to establish a clear, bright line between what we do here and what we do afterward. And I think that it's important to recognize that the law already contemplates similar restrictions on other levels of government. Our public utility commissioners are not allowed to leave office and go to work immediately for the entities that they regulated. Our state treasurer has restrictions like that, and so does our insurance commissioner, and we're simply applying the same restrictions to ourselves. Our colleague, the representative from Ashland, said, putting a stop to the revolving door will increase public confidence in government and help avoid the appearance of cronyism. We are elected to represent the public and should not use or appear to use our public offices as a pathway to personal financial gain. In voting for House Bill 2589, we will be setting the highest ethical standards in Oregon's history. Colleagues, the Oregon Law Commission came out with a similar recommendation to this in their report. They just didn't apply it to sitting legislators, and we think it's very important that whatever we pass applies to us, that we should not be accepting ourselves. So I would urge you to support House Bill 2589 to send a message that we are here to do the people's business and that nothing will interfere with that. Thank you.
Any In the absence of the motion to substitute the minority report for the committee report, I order the bill to be advanced immediately to the third reading calendar. The chair requests unanimous consent to temporarily advance to the order of business of third reading of House bills. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2589 relating to lobbying.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2589. Representative Rosenbaum.
Colleagues, I think I have made a clear statement of why I think this bill is needed. I would urge you to set aside any feelings that you have of being insulted by this bill. It is not intended to be that, simply intended to be a very clear message to the state of Oregon that we will be operating in an above-board way, and we are here to do what they want us to do, what we were sent here to do. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Representative Thatcher.
Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 2589 be referred to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules.
Representative Thatcher moves that House Bill 2589 be re-referred to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules. To your motion.
Well, Mr. Speaker, it just needs some fixing. Main objections about the bill is, well, according to the legislative council, there's an opinion that it could have some constitutional questions. We've looked at the legislative council opinion, and they talk about a whole list of constitutional questions. Freedom of speech. U.S. Constitution includes the freedom to assemble, and the U.S. Supreme Court has held time and again that freedom to associate is an essential part of freedom of speech. The LC opinion says, further, a ban on legislative branch employment may raise privileges and immunities or equal protection issues under the Oregon and United States Constitution because a certain class of individuals is singled out for different treatment. It says a law that prohibits a person from engaging in lobbying raises constitutional issues under Section 8, Article 1 of the Oregon Constitution because lobbying is protected expression, and the law prohibits the expression based on its content. This would be this bill we're referring to. Also, there's some inconsistencies. If we're going to go this route and just let the courts figure it out, let's at least be even-handed and consistent. The majority report is not consistent. It singles out a single select group of individuals. You know, since the beginning of session, we've been all about government ethics, appearances, restoring public perception and trust when it pertains to the state government. We've all talked about ban on gifts and travel for political purposes. We've talked about annual sessions, and now we're talking about whether there can be life after the legislature. Can a former legislator lobby? Well, maybe the bill needs to be sent back to committee to address, if not the constitutional issues, if that's going to be ignored this time around. Let's at least talk about making a level playing field, so that we prohibit both legislators from becoming lobbyists, as it says in the committee report, and also prevent lobbyists from being appointed to the executive or legislative branch of government. There are more than several instances of the public perceiving something wrong with lobbyists receiving high government appointments. I haven't seen any issue raised where something was wrong with a lobbyist or a legislator becoming a lobbyist. But let's be even-handed. We've got, as an example, here's some examples raised by the Oregonian, the Statesman Journal. There's other papers where former lobbyists who helped generate significant campaign contributions to a statewide office holder, those lobbyists are now working for that statewide official. These are six-figure incomes we're talking about. I'm not going to stand here and question the integrity of either of the statewide official or the people assigned to his staff, but I just point this out to say that public is asking these questions. And if we are attempting to truly address public perceptions, shouldn't we address the actual perceptions and not just potential perceptions? Let's seal the whole revolving door, not just have it go one way. And I think it needs to be referred back to the committee to be even-handed. Stop legislators from being lobbyists and stop lobbyists from working for state agencies. That way no one's getting a cushy job based on what's perceived as a good old boys network or based on how much campaign money they shoveled over to one candidate or another. We make it clear once and for all that jobs in the executive or legislative branch are not for sale, and legislators can't come back and twist someone's arms as lobbyists. Everyone would have to sit on the sidelines. It would include a broader range of people. It wouldn't just single out legislators. The bottom line, the legislative session is all about trust. Let's look at the issues that are outside the legislative body and all the government, because voters, people out there, are very cynical about the political appointments. They're questioning motives, and they're asking, is it payback time? Is this person really the right one for the job? Before you make up your minds today, just consider that if you don't have an issue with it being unconstitutional, at least let's be even-handed and consistent in our legislation. Thank you.
We now continue with discussion on the motion to re-refer. Representative Berger.
Thank you. To the motion.
To the motion.
Colleagues, we had clear testimony from the Law Commission, who, by the way, the Law Commission has their own bill on this subject. It has a different number. It is in the same committee. It came in to the committee after this bill had already gone out. So there is another bill out there by the Law Commission on this same subject. The Law Commission, during the testimony on this bill, said that they prefer strongly their language to the language in this bill on the same subject. There was a lot of discussion in committee on this. I am convinced that we need to take it back, take another look at it, compare it to this other bill, and look at this whole issue again. There's too much around this. So I urge an aye vote on this motion to send this back to the committee again.
Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Carrier of the motion.
This would be the maker of the motion. I assume you're...
Carrier of the motion, yes.
Representative Thatcher, do you yield?
Yes.
She does.
Thank you. Representative, in committee, which we both sit on, was there any time that the chair of the committee refused to hear testimony from any person who had any interest at all in any aspect of this bill?
I do not recall the chair refusing any testimony.
Further question of the carrier?
Further question. Do you accept a further question?
Oh, yes.
She does.
Thank you, good representative. Was there any attempt by the chair to disallow or not to allow amendments to the proposal in committee?
There was no discretion. What happened was there was an amendment and there wasn't a motion made to do that, but I do recall that everybody got a copy of it.
Thank you very much. To the motion?
To the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could just note, I've never seen a speaker use this gesture before to a representative say they had that much more. It's an interesting hand language there. Colleagues, in committee, there was full opportunity to discuss this proposal. And at the bottom line, it's a very simple proposal. It basically talks about us. It talks about the legislature. It talks about people who serve in this chamber and in the Senate chamber. And it says, are we willing to hold ourselves up to a standard that draws a very clear line for the public and says, you can trust us. We are here to do one job and one job only, and that is to serve the people of our districts and the people of our state. There is every opportunity in committee to hear every point of view. And some of the issues that were brought up this morning were never brought forth by anyone in giving testimony. No one brought forth the idea from testimony that there's a problem somehow with the governor's office or any other statewide official in testimony. What we talked about was regulating ourselves, restoring our image with the public. I think if you look at the polls, in any poll taken in our state, the credibility and confidence level in our institution ranks down below that, I would think, maybe even of the Portland Trailblazers. And I would urge you to take this opportunity to pass a very simple bill that says we will not profit from our terms in office. We will not use our positions, the relationships that we develop during our tenure in office, to then turn around and earn money from that by making the use of those relationships on behalf of any particular special interest after we leave office. It's a very simple bill. Let's not complicate it. Let's not try to send it back to committee to make it have bells and whistles on it. Let's just pass this very simple proposal that will help to restore the credibility of this chamber. Thank you.
I would like to remind everyone that this is the motion to re-refer that we're debating. Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to the motion. Well, I assume that's okay. Colleagues, I am rising in opposition to this motion. As the chair of the committee from which the original bill came, I can assure you that we had ample opportunity to discuss problems with the bill, changes to the bill, amendments to the bill, and as the chair of the committee, I would have been happy to entertain any suggestions for amendments or concerns about the bill. And that is the time when we should be doing those things. You know, if we have a process where bills go through committee, come to this floor, we don't amend bills on the floor, we vote on them. And that is really what we're here to do. I think that we should observe the protocol, and it is important that people read these bills and bring up any problems they have at the time they're in committee. And so I would assure you that we did that we vetted this bill thoroughly, that it is now before you, and I would urge you that the time is now to vote on it, and that means to defeat this motion and go back to the original bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Crummell. Okay, he waves off. Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues.
To the motion.
To the motion. Colleagues, this is nothing but perception. I don't think anyone here disagrees we need to get across the street. But it's how we get across the street. This constitutional issue never came up until after the amendment was formed. That's a fact from LC. We did discuss the motion, but no one discussed the amendment, but no one made the motion. The Law Commission, even in their discussions, brought up constitutionality, we found out after the fact. During the hearings and during this voting process on this in committee, constitutionality was never brought up. Why would we want to pass a bad bill? If we're going to pass a bill, let's pass a good bill. I agree. I firmly feel there is not one person in this chamber that feels that we have to get across the street. But I think there are some people that say, wait a minute, if we're going to go across the street, let's do it right. Let's not do it wrong. Let's not tie this thing up in courts. Because that may be what we'll end up with is a hearing in court, and it may go on for a substantial period of time. And I implore you and urge you to take it back to committee, and I urge a yes vote.
Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, to the motion.
To the motion.
This bill has been discussed as being kind of a revolving door, and we should send it back to committee because if it's a revolving door, then it should not only apply to legislators going out, but also lobbyists coming in. That's only fair.
Representative Kotek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the motion.
To the motion.
Colleagues, I stood up yesterday with my concerns about House Bill 2170. And as a freshman, I'm trying to understand the process and do the best I can to make sure I'm following the protocols of not only our House, but the entire legislature. And I'm standing up today to oppose to this motion because I believe we need to let the committee process work. And what I'm going to do on the bill that I opposed yesterday is propose amendments and do my best to have it amended on the Senate side. And though my colleagues might have some very valid points about the content of the bill as proposed, I would urge them to not move it back to committee, but to work it on the Senate side like I'm going to do on the bill that I opposed. And I think we should respect the process as best we can. And although some would argue that the liquor bill might not rise to the importance of this bill, I think we should try to follow the process as best we can. So I urge you to oppose this motion. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
To the motion.
To the motion. Colleagues, I have never, since I've been in the legislature, knowingly voted for a measure that I had an opinion from legislative counsel, from the Attorney General, from LC, or from an appeals court, that bill I was voting on stood a good chance of being unconstitutional. Now, I'm not suggesting that we have that opinion from all of those, merely clarifying my record as I think it will stand up in relationship to my vote. My understanding that legislative counsel has given us that opinion. I would be especially hard pressed to support an issue where the issue is for perception and perception only. If issues never brought if there are issues never brought before the committee that are now being advanced, if there were issues never brought before the committee that are now being advanced, why, in the name of responsible government legislation, do we not simply send it back to committee, as the bill proposes to do, to address those issues instead of passing it on? Colleagues, I'd rather address those issues here than run the risk of a bill passing out that someday I might have to defend to my constituents why we're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars of Attorney General money to defend a bad bill that I knew was a bad bill at the time that we passed it out of this committee. Therefore, I respectfully, colleagues, ask you to take the correct choice, send it back to committee, do the bill the way that it should be done, look carefully at the LC opinion, look carefully at the Law Commission's comments, and then if it's what you want, bring it back for us to vote on a clean bill. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Galizio.
Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Do you? This would be the maker of the motion.
The maker of the motion.
Yes.
She does.
Representative, when did you receive the Legislative Council opinion?
It was after I requested the I had asked for a amendment to address the issues that I talked about and gave notice of a minority report.
Follow-up?
Additional question. Do you yield?
So I'm a little unclear. So
she does.
The specific date that you received?
Well, let me look. The Legislative Council letter is dated February 20th.
Follow-up?
Additional question, do you yield?
Yes.
She does.
When were other... Did you notify other members of the committee of this opinion?
I didn't necessarily bring up this...
Representative Richardson, to what purpose do you rise? Point of order.
The Inquisition here is interrupting or involving attorney-client privileges, and it is inappropriate question for a motion to re-refer to a committee.
Let me confer the parliamentarian just a moment. Thank you. The maker of the motion can refuse to answer the question on the basis that you have noted, attorney-client privilege. But if she wishes to answer, that is her privilege as a legislator.
Thank you.
Your choice.
I didn't share it with the committee specifically, but after a closer examination, after looking at it for some time, I decided that this opinion must also apply to the majority bill as well.
To the motion, please.
To the motion.
To my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, the committee met on February 21st. So I think that's important information. So I would urge people to vote against the motion. Thank you.
Representative Schaffler.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to vote against sending it back to committee, but I just wanted to point out, you know, as far as whether you vote on something and you're going to question whether or not it's going to be found constitutional or not, or if the courts are going to agree with it or not, you know, in 2003 we had a whole host of public employee retirement system bills here, and I'm proud to say I voted against all of them, I think, and the courts said I was half right. So we have, which is pretty much my batting average probably in life, but you know, we have set precedent time and again on this floor voting for things that later on, that's why we have a court system. So I'll be voting no to refer it back to me. Thanks.
Representative Bonamici.
To the motion.
To the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please don't get distracted by the argument that somebody may someday bring a constitutional challenge to the statute. Look at the bill. This is an existing statute. It's not something new. All we're doing is adding, according to House Bill 2589, a new provision in paragraph 6, and I urge you to vote against the motion.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Thatcher, do you wish to close?
Yes, I do, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. The constitutional issue wasn't raised by either side, and I'm imagining that the same letter I got for my minority report also applied to the majority report. But my main concern, besides that, the constitutionality questions, are the fact that we're not addressing the real revolving door. The League of Women Voters sat before a committee and testified that they really support a bill that addresses the revolving door. And this only this bill only addresses one half of that revolving door. Let's just get it right. And now that we are discussing the constitutional issues, does that mean we should proceed forward and ignore that? It didn't get picked up in committee, but here we all are now making consideration to move it back to committee to do it right. So you want to ignore that? Or should we do it right? I ask your aye vote on this motion. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that House Bill 2589 should be re-referred to Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. The motion to re-refer House Bill 2589 to the Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules, having not received the required majority, is declared failed. We return to discussion on the bill itself. Representative Berger? No? Representative Clem.
To the bill, Mr. Speaker.
To the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I am going to support the bill. I actually do share some of the concerns that I have heard rumored to be talked about because we didn't actually get into some of these contents revolving or involving people who are working on behalf of campaigns for people running for office and then their positions after that. I think there are additional concerns around people who work in public employment, going to work for agency or for contractors who have just been recently doing business with their agencies. I think there are significant concerns. Representative Kotek actually persuaded me, though, that probably since I wasn't on the committee, I should have went there, or I can go and work on those issues in the Senate. And ethics is a particularly relevant deal to my district. It's important. I actually think this bill is not perfect and does not speak to some of the issues, but I am going to support it and then continue to work with folks on improving those other areas.
Further discussion, Representative Crummell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, I do.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. And if a person is working for an organization and then they leave the legislature and the organization that they're working for sees there's a bill that they're concerned about, whether supporting or against, and so they send that person to go and talk to legislators about the bill, is that going to be defined as lobbying for the purposes of this bill?
I'm not sure I quite understand your question, Mr. Speaker. Clarification?
Can you clarify your question?
Could you restate?
I'm going to try. Yes, so if a person works for Kodak and there was a bill that would make film illegal, and so Kodak said, hey, go and you're the district manager for Kodak, so please go over and talk to the legislature about the about how bad this bill would be. And so the person then that was a former member started coming to the Capitol and said, you know, I work for Kodak, and you've got this bill that says, it happens to be House Bill 2589, that says that the film is going to be illegal, we have a concern about that. Is that going to be considered lobbying for the purposes of this bill? Because the person is being paid by Kodak for doing their job, which is being the district manager or the regional manager or whatever.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, I think I understand your question. And Oregon law defines lobbying as spending more than 24 hours during any calendar quarter lobbying. And if you don't spend more than 24 hours or you don't spend an amount in excess of $100 during any calendar quarter, then by that definition, you are not lobbying for money. So I would say that the threshold is laid out in the law.
Further question, Mr. Speaker?
Further question of the carrier. Does she yield?
I do.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. So we all know that it can take much more than 24 hours to get a bill passed, but that being the case, if a person then that was a former member working for Kodak did spend more than 24 hours and they go over and register as a lobbyist, then are they going to be in violation of this bill?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, I believe, yes, they would.
Further question, Mr. Speaker?
Further question is, Carrie, you?
I do.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. On the second page of the bill, at lines 35 and 36, can you tell me what the effect of that subparagraph B is going to be?
Mr. Speaker, the lines in question say paragraph A of this subsection does not apply to a person who is a public official as defined in ORS 171.725. I believe that's fairly self-explanatory, that if you are a public official, then this would not apply to you.
Further question, Mr. Speaker?
Further question, do you yield?
I do.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. So will the bill actually affect the people that you're wanting it to affect?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, I think that what we are attempting to do with this bill is make it clear that somebody cannot leave office and immediately become a lobbyist for money. I believe the bill accomplishes that. So the answer to your question is yes.
Thank you. To the bill, Mr.
To the bill.
Colleagues, there are a variety of issues with this bill as were brought up in the motion to re-refer it back to committee, and we probably should have gone ahead and re-referred it because I think the bill is missing the mark. I think the bill is not getting at where it is that this body is wanting to go if we really do want to go there. Basically, if a person is paid by Kodak for being a district manager or regional manager or whatever their job is, are they being paid as a lobbyist? And I would argue that they're not being paid as a lobbyist. So is there financial gain or is it attributed to lobbying itself? And I would argue that it's not. That their job is being the regional manager, and it just so happens that because they live in a state that the company maybe would ask them to go, and so then you raises the question again of the constitutional issues. What about the constitutional right to free speech? The other things I think that need to be addressed in here that really doesn't, and that is, what about legislators going to work for agencies? And we all know that agency heads then become lobbyists because they're in the building. Lobbying is on their budget. Lobbying is on some bill that they want to make their job better or easier or simpler. So what we're saying is that if a person out of this body is appointed as an agency head, they cannot come back in here in excess of 24 hours in any calendar quarter and lobby us. And we better keep track of their time. If the bill is not constitutional, or we don't think it's unconstitutional, I sure hope I said that right, Mr. Speaker, then somebody decides to file suit, how much money are we going to spend defending this turkey? I think it's going to be a lot. quite frankly. And as I pointed out in lines 35 and 36 on page 2 of the bill, it says sub B, paragraph A of this subsection does not apply to a person who is a public official as defined in ORS 171.725. Well, let's go look at that, shall we? And what it says in ORS 171.725, sub 11, public official means any member or member-elect of any public agency and any member of the staff or an employee of the public agency. Ladies and gentlemen, you are a public official. It's a news bulletin for you. I know that we may not think of ourselves as public officials sometimes, but we really are. And what that says, and the way this bill is written, we have just been exempted from this bill. Now, I think that if we really want to do something of substance, we should have sent the bill back to committee. But I think maybe what we do is just kill it here now and put it out of its misery. There is another bill, with a law commission bill. We could certainly look at that, and we could certainly make amendments to it if it would in fact work to do that and get to all of the points that we're really wanting to get to. So I believe that we're not getting where we want to go with this bill. I strongly urge a no vote on this bill, because the other thing is to say, well, you know, we can fix it in the Senate. Over the last five sessions, I can't tell you how many times I've heard we can fix it in the Senate. And you know what? Somehow it just didn't get fixed. And so I am not going to vote to send a turkey like this out of here, betting on the come that it will be fixed on the Senate side. I say we fix it over here, and then we send it over to the Senate so that the Senate doesn't have to worry about fixing it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I will.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. Could you give us the benefit of why the committee that voted in the majority on this bill determined that 2 years was the time frame that a person would be prohibited from lobbying, and whether 2 years is a magic number and you have less influence after 2 years than after 1 year?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, it's actually not 2 years. It is for the duration of the next regular legislative session after the member steps down. So I think, to answer your question, I don't know that that's a magic number, but I think it is the concept of a cooling off period. It is similar to what other states have, who have prohibitions like this, and that is why we did that.
Thank you. Further question?
Further question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I will.
She does.
Thank you. The bill says you can't use your position as a former member of the legislature to obtain financial gain as a lobbyist. And that is in Section 1, Parent 6, page 2, line 29. So what does financial gain mean, and could that apply to someone who becomes appointed to a volunteer position on a state board that regulates, let's say, Representative Esquivel's realtor business? So as an individual, at some point he goes on to another element of becoming a realtor, or I become a realtor and I get a job and it looks good on my resume and I have a new assignment, so I might get some financial gain. How do you measure financial gain?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, I would say, if I understand your question correctly, that if you were serving as a volunteer, you aren't meeting the standard of the bill, which says basically that you must be doing it for financial gain, which we have interpreted as meaning you must be paid. So if you're a volunteer, you're not being paid, so I don't see that that would be what the bill is talking about.
Follow up?
Additional question?
Thank you.
She yields.
I will.
Thank you, Representative. That does inure to my future gain, however. But I do have additional question. A former legislator could not representative, according to this bill, could not represent a nonprofit group seeking, say, for instance, more funding for schools. Is that correct?
Just a moment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, if they were being paid as a lobbyist by that organization, then it would be prohibited.
Additional question, please.
Additional question, do you yield?
I will.
She does.
Could you also give us some information, Representative, as to why the Elections, Ethics, and Rules Committee did not consider the recommendations of the Oregon Law Commission in regard to this whole area that we are contemplating here?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, we heard testimony from the Oregon Law Commission. Basically, they were urging us to consider their bill as opposed to this bill. That bill did not apply to the current body of legislators. We felt it was important. Whatever we did should apply to us, and that's why we went with this bill instead.
To the bill?
To the bill.
Colleagues, I find it really fascinating that a group such as the Oregon Law Commission, who has invested a substantial period of time and resource into exploring this whole question, brought some testimony before a committee, but the committee was more concerned about the perception issue rather than the depth and substance issue. That's concerning to me. And I have a hard time limiting the context of this only to paid lobbyists. We all know that being appointed to a board or a commission or a task force has some benefit to us, not only in utilizing perhaps some expertise, but also certainly increasing our area of expertise. And at some point might even, because it's on our resume, inure to our financial benefit. We have a good example with Senator Ron Wyden, who had become an advocate for the Gray Panthers and went on to, during his primary initial campaign. And so I just find that this bill does not address the questions that are obvious on their face. I'm not confident that they will be addressed on the Senate side, and I think we're not doing our duty as far as crafting sound public policy if we pass this bill. I would urge a no vote.
Representative Chris Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, Mr. Speaker, one of the most concerning issues at all levels of government is the breakdown of trust between citizens and government at all levels, and it's across the political spectrum. And one needs to look no further than declining election turnouts and the rise in party registration as independent voters. There is quite a concern among the public that there is a quid pro quo relationship between legislators and the lobby. We need to clean that up today, not next session. We need to do it this session. We need to do it today. I hope we see more ethics reform bills this session. And for today, I urge an aye vote on this bill because I think it goes a long way toward cleaning up a problem. Thank you.
Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in favor of this bill.
To the bill.
On the committee, I raised a question, and I just wanted to make sure that I addressed it here, and it's very similar to the comments that were just made before. And I'm one of those people who says, let's take it one piece at a time. It's clear that people can understand what we're trying to do. But my issue is this. One of the perceptions that the public has about our body, which I do not share. Having been here now for two sessions, I am privileged to work with all of you people. I have found people on both sides of the aisle to be very ethical, to work very hard for their constituents, and to do the right things. However, when I go home, I don't hear the same thing from the public. The question that I posed was, is there a perception out there? And I posed this to the people from the Law Commission. Is there a perception in the public that a particular legislator may take a vote on the floor, no conflict of interest, and then down the road, when they chose not to run the next session, be hired by someone to lobby? And when you look back at it, you see that vote and that person tightly connected. Is that perception real? And the answers that I got were that that is one of the perceptions that exists. This bill goes right to the heart of that. It says we can't use that influence with regard to lobbying the people we have made relationships with during the next session. I believe we should all be wanting that kind of direct relationship so that we show, and this body shows, that we are not going to tolerate that from us. Because I believe it's not a stretch. I don't think anyone here that I have dealt with would do that. This codifies and codifies that in statute. And I am proud to have been a part of the committee that listened to it and would urge you to vote aye.
Representative Scott, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request a 5-minute caucus on the floor.
Request for 5-minute caucus without objection, so granted, on the floor. Representative Hunt. Further discussion, Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
The word perception has been used here today, and I can remember earlier in the session when we developed some of our ethic rules we're giving regarding gifts. It was perception, so I can have a $9.99 snack, but I can't have a $10.01 dinner. And perception has been used here today. And if you really want to bring credibility back to this building, you can all help me get a hearing, and you can all vote for the bill that would drug test every legislator, and that will in fact bring credibility back to this building. Thank you.
Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
To the good carrier, I was going to ask you questions, but I didn't coordinate beforehand, so I'll spare that here. The way I read this bill, colleagues, is I can get out of the legislature next year, I can cut a good, fat, juicy check from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, become their government affairs person, and come back and lobby the Good Ways and Means Committee for more money so that we can expand wolves in the state of Oregon. Then, if I don't like that, I can go to the city of Portland, get a better paying, because they pay more than the state, I can get a better paying job from the city of Portland, and then I can come down here and I can lobby for a new tram. So we have a better tram in Portland. One of the good sides that I think would be good is I could get a job at Lane County, and I can come down here and lobby for ONC timberland replacement money. Now, ironically, I couldn't take a job with the Red Cross and come lobby for emergency service issues. How ironic. But I could go to work for the city of Eugene and argue in favor of island annexations. So to me, even though we see in the committee where it raised the issue of state, a little bit of state agencies and executive branch, this is a half fix to the public trust. And in my district, the public doesn't really see a difference between the evil corporate business lobbyist and the bureaucrat in Salem trying to take their money. They really don't see a difference at all. So I urge a no passage on this simply because We need to fix it and cover everybody equally, because there's no such thing as a half-truth or a half-trust. Thank you.
Representative Thatcher.
To the bill.
To the bill.
I just wanted to share a little thing here. It says, about 4 or 5 decades ago, the first ethics law was adopted in New York in 1954. And since then, we've developed a checkerboard of laws all over across the country, different in every state, different in the U.S. Congress as opposed to the states. And here's a quote from a gentleman named Elder Witt in his book called Essentials of Government Ethics. He says, "What has emerged is not a clear system of rules, but an inconsistent and confusing patchwork. In fact, if based on conclusions of opinion polls, it appears that public skepticism increases as government enacts more ethics laws. When trust in government was at its highest in the early 1960s, there were no major ethics laws in the states. What we need to bring back credibility to this process is electing people who have high and ethical moral standards. I don't think that they're the people that, just as the good representative from Dow, oh, where in the heck are you from? Dallas, thank you, mentioned earlier. It's a confusing patchwork that we're inviting upon ourselves, and it'll end up being kind of a gotcha, and I just don't think that serves this body. It just makes, it instills more mistrust from the public, and I urge your I vote, or your no vote. Thank you. Get that right. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Galizio.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Well, we could talk about the 1960s, but post-1960, we've had people like John Tower. Some of you might know him, who was a congressman and then became quite a wealthy defense contractor, lobbyist. Duke Cunningham, James Traficant. I could go down a long list. So the perception is often a reality, and if we care about this institution, we care about the public's trust, and we care about their perception. There's been a lot of what I've heard is just sort of obfuscation. Let's try to talk about complications or what is or is not a lobbyist. This is a simple sort of front door test. I call this bill the Billy Towson bill. You know Billy Towson, member of Congress? He was at the center. He wrote the Medicare bill. And then he became the number one lobbyist for pharma, the Pharmaceutical Manufacturing Association, multimillionaire job. That's what people read about. It's fact. Those are our constituents who are concerned about this problem. So if you think the status quo is okay, that you could parlay your position in this body to a six-figure lobbying stint, then oppose this bill. But if you think that that is wrong and that we need to prevent the Billy Towsons of Oregon, then support this bill.
Representative Giron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
She does.
I apologize because I want lunch more than anybody, but I do have to ask you some questions. Are lobbyists part of the process here?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, yes. I think the answer to that is yes.
Okay, so are we not denying access of some people?
Is this an additional question?
Additional question.
Additional question is the carrier yield?
I will.
She does.
So are we not denying access of some people to the process?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, I suppose you could see it that way. I think that most people would see it as simply establishing a bright line from representing the public interest to representing the private interest for money.
Final question on the carrier.
Additional question, is carrier yield?
Yes.
She does.
I kind of like things simple and black and white, so I want to ask you point blank, is this constitutional?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, I am not a judge on the Supreme Court, so I don't think I can really be the last word on that subject, but I do believe this bill is constitutional, or I would not be bringing it to you.
To the bill.
To the bill.
I personally, in all my heart, believe that this bill is probably not constitutional. Now comes the ethical dilemma. Do I vote for something that's a perception, and therefore that's going to cost the state a lot of money, or do I vote ethically for something I think is a lousy bill? I'm voting no.
Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I'll be brief, but a point that I think needs to be made here that really hasn't is, as we go about the business of being legislators, we go to people daily, weekly, all the time in this process and implore them to get engaged in this very process that we're participating in. We do that because we know participation makes a better process. I, like many of you, came to this process from an association, my professional business association. We have attorneys here. We have realtors here. We have CPAs here. All of them came from an association, whether it was restaurant or whatever. As I look forward to what I do here in this process and the day that I leave this process, I will have come here to be engaged. Somebody asked me to get involved. When I leave here, I'll be talking to somebody else about taking and filling this role. But I hope that when I leave here, I don't walk away and never spend more than 24 hours in the following year and a half or two engaged in this process. Doesn't that seem silly that we would come here and engage ourselves in a process that we believe in, that we think is a way to do community service and give back to our state, and we would walk away and say, I'm not going to put another 24 hours into this process from the very industry that I came here from. Colleagues, I'll tell you, from Southern Oregon, if you come up here and spend a couple of days in the motel, you're going to spend more than $100. And if you leave this process and don't put more than 24 hours back into it, I'd suggest maybe you ought to go today. We're here because we're involved folks. I want to be able to leave this process, participate in the industry that I make a living in, and be able to come back and, yes, still have influence in this building. Undue influence or influence beyond what others would have? Absolutely not. But let's let our actions speak for the trust we build with the communities that send us here. Colleagues, this is the wrong bill. If you look at this and think you're going to send it next door and it's going to get fixed by the Senate, I'd suggest you check out the differences in the rules we have between a $10 gift and a $50 dinner. Colleagues, this just doesn't quite get it done. It has some fairness issues that can't meet the test. I'd urge you to vote no.
Representative Jensen.
Question of the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does the carrier yield?
Yes, I will.
She does.
Thank you, Representative. Can you tell me about the wording in here and staff? How does this apply to staff?
I'm sorry, I'm
to,
Mr.
How does this
Speaker,
apply to your legislative staff?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative, this bill does not apply to legislators. It does not apply to legislative staff.
What are we?
It doesn't apply to current legislators. It applies to former legislators, and it does not apply to legislative staff.
But it will apply to legislative staff in the future.
Additional question.
Follow-up question, Mr. Speaker.
Additional question. Does the carrier yield?
I will.
She does.
But it does apply to staff of legislators appearing in the next or subsequent legislative sessions.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you for the question. Representative, this bill applies to former legislators, and that is the only category of people to whom it does apply, former legislators. And it and just a further clarification, it only applies for the duration of the next regular session after leaving office.
Mr. Speaker, I'm still confused. And I know that that's perhaps a frequent state for me.
Do you want to ask for clarification?
I need clarification of this. Supposing for some strange reason I get reelected 2 years from now and come back to this chamber, then would it apply to me if I choose not to run, then in the next election, would it apply to me then?
Mr. Speaker, yes, Representative, I believe that it would.
And follow up, or another question.
Additional questions, Carrier Yield?
I will.
And would it apply to my staff then?
Mr. Speaker, Representative, I do not believe that this bill under any circumstances applies to staff. The bill, the language I think is fairly plain, only applies to former legislators. The bill, in fact, says a person who has been a member of the Legislative Assembly, and that is the class of person to whom it applies.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the bill, I'd refer back to 171 in the ORS and refers to a definition of public official, and public official does include in that statute staff of the legislators. Regardless of that, I would urge to the bill. I'd urge colleagues to vote against this on the reason that I expressed before. I believe that it's fairly clear there's a constitutional problem, and if it's voted down, as has been pointed out, it'd be very easy for the committee to bring up the bill that is languishing now in that committee, make the necessary changes, and move on with a good, clean, healthy bill that everyone or most everyone can support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion? Seeing none, does Kerry wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I think there are several things about this bill that have been raised that really do not pertain to the bill, and I want to clear up a few of those. A point was made that there should be a prohibition in the bill, if you're running for office, against making promises to people that they will be hired if you win. Well, that's already illegal. Under election law, you can't do that, and there are pretty severe penalties for doing it, so I think that would be unnecessary. Someone raised the point of if you were serving on a board or commission, this would unfairly impact you. Well, the definition of public official includes members of boards and commissions, so they are excluded by that exemption in the bill. As to the constitutional issues that have repeatedly been raised, I am somewhat dumbfounded by all of these constitutional issues that apparently arose from a Legislative Council opinion that was issued prior to the day our committee met, deliberated, and voted this bill out. I really, frankly, am very, very perplexed as to why those issues, if they were there at the time, were not raised at that time. I don't think this bill is unconstitutional. If I thought that was a problem, I would have sent it back to committee, or I would be not bringing it out in the first place. There will always be questions about the constitutionality of some of the things we do here. I think that if there is a question, and I don't think that this bill is unconstitutional, that will be resolved by a challenge in the courts. The bill before you today is a very simple bill. Why is it here? Well, it's here because of things that have happened in the past, whether perception or reality. It has been the case that people serving in this body, even while still serving, have gone to work for entities that had a lot to gain or lose. And certainly when people leave here, after they have been here every day as we have, as colleagues, as friends, as people working together, eating together, I think it's reasonable to have a cooling off period. The bill only says not that you can't ever do that, but that you cannot for one legislative session after leaving go to work for money as a lobbyist. I think that that is something that other states prohibit. I think it will do a lot to address the public perception of a too cozy relationship with those entities. We prohibit lobbyists from being on this floor. We are all very honored and privileged to be able to serve here, to do the public's work, to represent our constituents. I think this is a small thing to ask. I think we need to do it. I would urge you to vote aye on House Bill 2589. And, Mr. Speaker, I respectfully ask for a call of the House.
Call of the House. Representative Rosenbaum requests a call of the House. She is joined by Representative Esquivel, Representative Dallum, Representative McPherson, Representative Garrard, and Representative Butler. The doorkeepers will bar the doors. Sergeant at Arms will attend. The clerk will call the roll.
Barker. Barnhart. Berger. Beyer. Bonamici. Boone. Boquist. Bruin. Buckley. Burley. Burley Butler. Cameron. Cannon. Clem. Cowan. Dallum. Dingfelder. Chris Edwards. David Edwards. David Edwards Esquivel. Flores, Galizio, Garrard, Gelser, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Holvey Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Richardson Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Tomei Wisnett, Witt, Mr. Speaker, not answering, Burley, David Edwards, Tomei.
All members are present. Those are the opinion. The bill should pass. Vote aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk will open the voting system. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? Representative Holvey?
Aye.
Votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Schaffler votes no. House Bill 2589, having received constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House Bills.
House Bill 2007 related to same-sex relationships, House Bill 2008 relating to telecommunications consumer rights, House Bill 2009 relating to semi-independent state agencies and declaring emergency, House Bill 2010 relating to urban growth boundaries, House Bill 2011 relating to districts providing fire protection, House Bill 2012 relating to genetically modified organisms advisory committee, House Bill 2013 related to Oregon military family relief program, appropriate money, prescribed an effective date, House Bill 2093 relating to transactions for vehicles and declaring emergency, House Bill 33 relating to taxation, prescribed an effective date, House Bill 3031 relating to splash and spray guards, House Bill 3032 relating to children's budgets, House Bill 3033 relating to group registration plates, House Bill 3034 relating to local commissions on children, families, appropriate money, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3037 relating to talented and gifted program, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3038 relating to business representation on workers' compensation system and advisory committees. House Bill 3039 relating to Office of Inspector General for Child Protective Services and appropriating money. House Bill 3040 relating to elections. House Bill 3050 relating to state financial administration. House Bill 3051 relating to taxation and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3052 relating to finance, appropriate money, providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3053 relating to casino gaming cross receipts taxes and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3054 relating to legal impediments to employment and property money. House Bill 3055 relating to public contracts for indefinite quantities of personal services. House Bill 3056 relating to criminal sentencing. House Bill 3057 relating to provider assessment and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3058 relating to managed care assessment, prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3059 relating to hospital assessment, prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3060 relating to employee safety committees. House Bill 3061 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 3062 relating to bonding requirements for public improvement contracts. House Bill 3063 relating to competitive quotas and public improvement contracting. House Bill 3064 relating to intangible property tax assessments. House Bill 3065 relating to taxation. House Bill 3067 relating to allocation to counties. House Bill 3068 relating to vector control and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3069 relating to self-defense. House Bill 3070 relating to voter registration. House Bill 3071 relating to firearm licenses. House Bill 3072 relating to records. House Bill 3073 relating to firearms. House Bill 3074 relating to municipal water right permit extensions, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3075 related to actions brought for unfair claim settlement practices, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3076 relating to refund anticipation loans and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3077 relating to insurance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3078 relating to lead poisoning prevention and appropriate money, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3079 relating to electricity service suppliers. House Bill 3081 relating to motor vehicle liability insurance. House Bill 3086 relating to motor vehicle liability insurance. House Bill 3087 relating to informed consent for testing for communicable diseases. House Bill 3088 relating to hospitals appropriate money, prescribing effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval of 3/5 majority. House Bill 3089 relating to use of professional title by acupuncturist. House Bill 3090 relating to health care appropriate money and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by 3/5 majority. House Bill 3111 relating to education performance reporting and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3112 relating to English language learners and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3113 relating to child abuse investigators. House Bill 3114 relating to amusement devices and taxes and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by 3/5 majority. House Bill 3115 relating to liability.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2228 relating to property tax returns. House Bill 2254 relating to personal records.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's consent calendar be carried over to their proper place on Wednesday, March 7, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Third reading of House bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and the bills remaining on the third reading of House bills be carried over to their proper place on Wednesday, March 7, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and that the bills remaining on today's final reading of memorials and resolutions be carried over to its proper place on Wednesday, March 7, 2007 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business line on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 5528 related to financial administration of the Oregon State Board of Nursing, declaring emergency. Senate Bill 5531 related to financial administration of the State Board of Parole and Post-Prison Supervision of Appropriate Money, declaring emergency. House Bill Senate Bill 41 related to assistance for low-income telephone customers. Senate Bill 65 related to authority of Attorney General to represent parties in class actions. House Bill, or Senate Bill 70 related to audits by Secretary of State and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 79 related to records of disability of elector. Senate Bill 81 related to criminal procedure. Senate Bill 83 related to terminology describing persons. Senate Bill 84 relating to correction of erroneous material in Oregon law. Senate Bill 122 relating to payment instruments that create obligations. Senate Bill 139 relating to operation of public use airports. Senate Bill 163 relating to disclosure of protected health information declaring an emergency.
Bills read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills. Third reading of Senate bills. Chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended. The bills remaining on today's third reading of Senate bills be carried over to their proper place on Wednesday, March 7, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there objection? There are none, so ordered. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee on Revenue will meet promptly at 1:45.
Representative Hunt.
House Democrats will caucus and be done well before 1:45.
Representative Riley.
The House Committee on Government Accountability and Information Technology will meet at 1:45.
Representative Scott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Republicans will not caucus.
Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Veterans, 1:45.
Representative Comp.
Education Committee, 1:45.
Further announcements? There will be no floor session on Friday, just to remind folks.
Okay.
For no further announcements, Representative Jensen.
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker,
okay.
Too quick.
Remonstrances. Representative Jensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, we have created one of the great mysteries of this session today, the mystery of who asked for the first legislative or the first legislative council opinion, an opinion that no one ventured forth in this discussion that we have just been through, but opinion apparently that legislative council was asked by some legislator to bring forth, or at some legislator's request. So a mystery for us to ponder as we go through the remainder of this session and have nothing else to do but look for something to exercise our minds on. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Richardson.
Mr. Speaker, we are all Oregonians, and when some Oregonians are going to suffer, we all suffer. I'd like to mention about Public Law 106-393. This deals with O&C funds, and remind all of us that 62% of Oregon is in the control of public land. 57% is in the control of the federal government. The following six counties will be losing the following percentages of their discretionary general funds because of the loss of O&C funding. Douglas County, 69%. Josephine County, 69%. Curry County, 63%. Coos County, 54%. Lane County, 35%. Jackson County, 34%. These counties are in crisis, and it's up to us not to let this matter be left solely to the federal government. We have to watch out for our counties. Thank you.
Further remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10 a.m., Wednesday, March 7, 2007.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House adjourned until 10 a.m., Wednesday, March 7, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourned until 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 7, 2007. Without objection, House is adjourned.